Well, thanks for joining me. It is a delight to be here with you today. I got Maggie on the other end of the glass, and Patrick Alog will take your calls. Lauren, good to have you in the studio praying with us as well. She's there as well. Hey, I want to pray with you. I know the lines have already are beginning to fill up, so if you can't get through on our telephone lines, do yourself a favor. Go to Twitter. It's at Drew Mariani Show. And Maggie will try to get your intention on the air today. So if you really have a special need, and I know sometimes like, oh my gosh, surgery is tomorrow, or you know, the foreclosure's happening this week, or whatever the situation is, those are possible situations that you want to get through. It's at Drew Mariani Show. That's the show page. You can follow me at Drew Mariani. And love to do that with you, okay? Hey, I want to share an answered prayer. Before I do, you know, here, this is really important. I was just made aware of this before walking into the studio. And you might think this doesn't affect you, but I really believe that when one part of the body is sick, one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers, right? So your toe gets stubbed, you know, you feel it, right? Well, there is a primary election in Wisconsin today. And if you are in the state of Wisconsin, please turn up your radio and pay attention to me. This is an important message for you, especially. This is of the utmost importance for the state. There are four candidates in the state of Wisconsin that are vying for a vacancy on the state Supreme Court. And two of them are pro-life. Two are pro-abortion. Right? So we got it split. Why does this matter? Because the administration, the governor there's a guy named Tony Evers. The administration of Tony Evers has brought a suit against the state because after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, the Badger State's 1852 law prohibiting abortion went back into effect. So abortion is illegal. It's no longer viable there in Wisconsin. So what's this pro-death governor trying to do? He's trying to overturn the law through the courts. Right now, there is a 4-3 majority in favor of life, but depending on how this election goes today, and you think, my vote doesn't count. No, it does count. Today, it counts more than ever. Countless lives may depend on you. The majority will flip. Eventually, abortion would become illegal in Wisconsin again. So this is vote today for you Wisconsinites is a matter of life and death. And as citizens of this great union, all of us, wherever you are listening and praying with me today, let's pray Wisconsin gets this right. As I said, when one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. So let's pray for Wisconsin and all the voters there that they make the right choice. And please do yourself a favor. If you are in Wisconsin, get online now, inform yourselves about where the candidates stand, and get out there and vote, okay? Get out there and vote, and we are going to support you with our prayers. That's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to pray for you as well. I do want to share a quick story. I had taken this pilgrimage to Israel, right? And one of my colleagues was on this particular pilgrimage. His name is Matthew. And yesterday, he shared a story with me, and he says, I am just overjoyed. I want to share a prayer of thanksgiving. I said, I love prayers of thanksgiving. What happened? How did God answer your prayers? He says, well, Drew, could you ask everyone to pray today in thanksgiving for Julie? She was a longtime relevant radio volunteer, more than 15 years. 6 months ago, she was diagnosed with a degenerative eye disease, and the doctors told her, you'll be blind within 6 months, 12 months. Now, I just can't imagine, right? Imagine it's your wife, your mother, your daughter. Imagine it's you. And they say, guess what? You'll never be able to read again. You'll never be able to watch television again. You'll never be able to see the sunset or the snowfall again. You'll never be able to drive because you're going to lose your sight in 6 to 12 months. You'll be blind. Well, she was diagnosed with this, and the family went into big time prayer. He said to me yesterday, this weekend, she went to the Mayo Clinic, and God answers prayers in really weird ways, right? Sometimes it's a miraculous healing. It was revealed to be a misdiagnosis, and her family says the doctors could not understand it, right? They just couldn't. They were overjoyed. Just as Jesus healed a blind man in Bethsaida in Galilee, he says, I want to pray in thanksgiving for this healing. And, you know, I say it all the time, and we look at God as he's black and white, right? We pray and we expect either an absolute total miracle, right? Total healing. And that can happen. God does it all the time. Cancer can disappear. The vision can be restored, period. Maggie was sharing with me the story in Lourdes where there was a stonemaker when Bernadette Subaru was having her visions and he was blinded in one eye. But he went to the spring and flushed his eye with the water, and Our Lady promised the healing properties of this water. And Lourdes has more documented healings than any other apparition site in the world, right? He was able to see, but the doctor says, this is impossible. You can't, you should not be able to see. And that's what happens. So sometimes those are instant. Other times, God uses the natural in a supernatural way to bring about an answer to our prayers. And sometimes our prayers are slow going. You know, it takes a little while to get the water up to boil, right? And sometimes the Lord allows us to persist. So I don't know what God has in store for you, but I know God is a God of healing. I know that approximately a third of the Gospels are taken up by cures that Jesus performed in his very brief public life. So it's impossible to say that God is not as active today. I hear reports all the time of God at work. I want to pray for a miracle in your life today. That's what I want to do. I want to pray that God works in a very vivid and miraculous way. Maybe he'll use the natural. Maybe he's going to ask you to be faithful and persistent. It'll be a slow healing. You'll get progressively better. Maybe it'll be instant. I don't know, but I believe in his mercy. And I'm so glad to pray for you. I'm so glad, Matt, you shared that as well. I want to pray for Matt, for Father Shea, Monsignor Shea as well, who's just with us. And Maggie, let me bring you into the equation here. Anything you want to lift up or have prayer for?
Yes. Drew, one of our colleagues shared a story with me today, and they need some prayer intentions for their family. We want to lift up Allie. She really needs our prayers. She's at a critical point right now where she could either surrender and accept help and recovery or stay obstinate, I guess. Prayers for her brother Patrick, who's picking her up and taking her to rehab right now. We want to ask the Lord to give him strength to endure this hard time and to give Allie the grace to accept help.
Amen. Let's definitely do that. It's a tough thing, and we'll ask the Holy Spirit to be at work. I want to send a shout out and prayers to the Hazard family. Joel, I just got your email, and praying for you and for your beautiful family. So we'll keep your efforts in there. I want to pray for Father Rocky. He's praying the rosary tonight. You can join him at 7 Central Time, 8 Eastern. And he's going to be praying. Maggie, you always pray the rosary. Who's he praying with? Bishop who tonight? He's got a bishop on.
That's tomorrow night.
Oh, that's tomorrow.
That's for Ash Wednesday.
Thank you. No, you're right. Well, you joined Father Rocky tonight at 7 too. But tomorrow, special broadcast.
Yes.
We'll tell you more about
yes.
that. That's so funny. My week, this has been a blur. It really has. But my days have been whacked.
You lost your wallet and everything's out the window.
It's so true. Keep praying for the return of that wallet. That would be a miracle. That would be an absolute miracle. All right, we'll pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls. And the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, our first call today comes from Mary Alice in Columbus, Ohio. Hi, Mary Alice. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Two things. I'll be quick.
Sure.
I needed to have my pastor come out yesterday to give me the anointing of the sick, and I gotten a pretty bad episode here Sunday, but he came out, so I want prayers of thanksgiving for him. And then as far as the waters that flow from the grotto over in Lourdes, they have highly concentrated amounts of hydrogen peroxide. Oh, it has been tested. I have been on it for years, and I know a lot of people also who have been on it, but that's one of the reasons why. And I have a book that many contributing authors, some are Catholic priests, they have tested that water, and it has highly concentrated amounts of hydrogen peroxide in it. And this is what they are attributing all of the cures and the healings.
I appreciate it. Well, let's pray for you. I'm going to attribute a lot of those healings also to God's grace. No doubt, he can certainly use the natural, too. But let's pray for you right now, Mary Alice. I'm so grateful for your call. Thanks for listening there in Columbus, Ohio. Lord, we give you thanksgiving for her pastor. And we also just lift up right now every intention in her heart. And we just ask for those who are sick, those who are seeking those healings, those miraculous cures, just like those who have often gone to Lourdes, France. And Lord, we just ask... We just ask for your mercy. There was a great priest who I shared the story with you before, who was offered his suffering for the priest, for the priestly scandal that took place, sexual abuse scandal. He came down with a brain tumor. He went to Lourdes and was miraculously cured as well. So, Lord, we thank you for the way you work. We thank you for the sufferings of our life. We ask that they could be redemptive. We give you the crosses that we now carry. We ask if, in your mercy, you could lighten them or remove them. If not, we ask for the grace to carry them as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Marlena next. She's praying in in Wayne, New Jersey. Hi, Marlena. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I have a girlfriend that called me today and said she wants to stop drinking after 40 years. She's never said that. I've spent many lunches with her. And I can't believe it. This is the opening I've been waiting for. So I calmly said, well, that's good. And I knew exactly what to do. I'm calling you to ask for your prayer warrior partners, please, to pray that he can be successful in stopping her drinking because he's been drinking so long. Please, you have wonderful prayer warrior people all over the world. I said,
yes,
all
we
over
do.
The world. But, which is amazing, and this is a miracle prayer. There's no question about it. This is a miracle prayer. I know.
Yeah, and you know, anyone who says a loved one that battles addiction, you think there's nothing that's going to change it. You try getting them help, incarceration, whatever, homelessness, whatever it might be. I mean, it goes to such extremes. There is an antidote. There is a solution, and that's Jesus Christ. That's God. God can heal. God can liberate. God can free. St. Catherine of Siena said, nothing great is ever achieved without enduring much. So if you've got a loved one and you are praying and you are enduring much, have confidence, have faith in God, have belief that your prayer reaches the ear of God and touches his heart. And we'll pray in thanksgiving right now, Marlena, for this prayer, and we'll pray for the grace that she'll no longer drink. We'll pray for those chains that bind so many in addiction, sexual addictions, alcohol, drugs, compulsive behaviors. I pray right now, Lord, in your mercy, you shatter those chains and you set your children free. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Amelia next, let me open Maggie's mic. Maggie, love having you here. I know you've been monitoring our Twitter attentions. What's coming in?
Abraham wrote to us, Drew, and says, prayers for employment. I had a job interview at 2:30 yesterday. I hope I can get on board with this group. Amen. He also prays for patience for his family during this time and for reconciliation of all families. Linton, Twitter user with the handle of Litany wrote to us and said, prayers for the preservation of the traditional liturgy.
All right.
Roy wrote to us and said, I'd like to lift up my beautiful bride, Susan. Thank you in advance, Lord, for her complete and speedy healing. She's recovering from an accident that she had in December and is still in pain. Bless you all at Relevant Radio, praying for you and all the prayer warriors. And Monica wrote to us, and this goes to what you were talking about earlier, yeah. Drew. Monica says, please pray for today's primary elections.
Yeah.
There are pro-life candidates on the ballot who can move the pro-choice ones yeah. off.
Amen.
This is crucial in states with Supreme Court elections.
Yeah, Lord, please, in your mercy, protect life. Vanquish that dark and demonic spirit, no doubt about it. I also want to pray for a young girl named River and her family. So I want to lift her up. Somebody had asked me to pray for her earlier today, and I know how powerful this prayer is, and prayers are coming for her and for all of those needs. Amelia in San Jose, California. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Drew and Maggie and Patrick and Father Shay. I'm bringing a big cup. I pray that my soon-to-be daughter-in-law's brother, Aaron, has successful emergency surgery, which is going on right now in Washington. They found a large mass in his colon. I pray that it is not, it's benign. And Jesus' hands guide the surgeons and doctors for a full recovery.
Well, I'm so glad you got through today. I am, especially the fact he's in surgery right now. And we will turn to the Lord because prayer is the best weapon we have, right? It's a key to God's heart, and it's what moves mountains and open doors. And Lord, I just pray right now you be the hands of the surgeon. You are the divine physician. I ask that this surgery be completely positive, recovery prompt, and Lord, that we could testify once again to another answered prayer. And I give you Amelia all of her personal needs and intentions, and all those now united with me in prayer, please hear the cries of our heart as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Kathy in Elk Grove Village, Illinois. Good afternoon.
Hello, Drew. God bless you and your family.
Thanks.
Thank you for taking my call. I need prayer for my sister, who lost her husband last night to suicide, and for the repose of his soul. I asked her today on the phone what she needed, and she answered me that she needed prayers. And she thanked me for my prayers from the previous few days.
Oh, so sad.
My other brother-in-law was a casualty of COVID. He committed suicide in 2020. And I lost my third brother-in-law to complications of diabetes.
Oh, my gosh, so much loss.
Well, my sister, it's just suffocating.
I'm sorry. My gosh, Kathy, I can't imagine that. I just cannot imagine it. Well, you know,
too much.
We're with you, and we're going to pray for you and your family and for your brother-in-law and for all these intentions. And, I tend to sit on the side of God's mercy. When I hear stories like this, unexpected death, sickness, suicide, you know, St. Faustina, she's given me such comfort in knowing when she wrote in her diary that God's mercy, it sometimes touches a soul at the very last moment in just wondrous. She used the word wondrous and mysterious ways. Wondrous and mysterious ways. And outwardly, sometimes there's no sign. It seems like everything was lost, but it's not so because God, he illuminates the soul. blankets it. He fills it with his rays of powerful final grace, giving souls, whether they are in that state where they don't think they can live anymore, or whether they are sick, you know, don't know what the cause of their final moments are. But God gives, I believe, every soul, gives you, gives me, this opportunity, this final grace to turn to him in that last moment. And I think he pours it out on us in such a powerful way. I'm so grateful for God and for his mercy. I know there's sin and there's consequence for sin. I know there's rejection of God. But so many people suffer, and God's outside of time, right? So these prayers are so important for us now, especially at this moment, for those of our loved ones that have gone before us, maybe didn't have the prayer or died in ways that give us pause. Lord, I give you this beautiful woman, and I give you all those who suffer, all those who've gone before us, all those souls in purgatory, all those you'll call home today, all those you'll call home in the not too distant future, and in a special way, the hour of our own deaths. Give us that grace. Give us the grace to say yes to you always. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Anne is joining us from Austin, Texas. Anne, good afternoon.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I want to pray for a good friend whose daughter, her 21-year-old daughter, is suffering from an opioid addiction. And it's really ruined her life. And they are in the process right now of kind of doing an intervention and trying to get her to go to rehab. So I want to pray that that goes well and that God opens her heart to accept help and to start the journey of healing.
Amen to that. Anne, did you call back in like December? Were you asking for your sister? If she had to pass a test or something? Am I remembering you correctly?
Yes. She had to pass a test to stay in nursing school, and she did. She passed
Praise
with flying colors
God.
And is on
God.
Her way to be a nurse.
Oh,
so
that's fantastic.
You.
We need good nurses. Well, thank you for calling again, Anne. We're going to pray for your friend's daughter. And this fentanyl plague that we have here in this country, it is horrible. The addiction, I know there's lots of reasons for it, but I just see Satan's hooks in it. Oh, gosh, does it destroy lives and families and futures? Lord, I again pray today, as Maggie was saying in my headset, boy, this is a theme today, she says, Drew. We just pray that today is the day for new beginnings for those with addictions, those who have pornography addictions, those who are addicted to drugs and alcohol and food, those who want new starts, Lord. Maybe it's in their relationship or their careers. I just pray for new beginnings today, and I pray for that in a special way. Let me sneak Maggie in from Downers Grove, Illinois. Hi, Maggie. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking this. My very good friend's little granddaughter, 3 years old, was found not alive in bed this morning. She went to bed perfectly normal and healthy and happy and died in her sleep. And their daughter and son-in-law, of course, are in terrible grief.
Oh,
but I'd like to pray for that little baby Tessa's soul.
Well, we'll pray for her. And thank you for calling. I want to pray for you, too, and for your needs. But in particular, I'm sure that beautiful little three-year-old baby's in the arms of our Blessed Mother right now, in the arms of our Lord. I can't imagine the family. You put your baby to bed and you wake up and she's not alive. Lord, I just ask for comfort for those who mourn. I pray for those who suffered loss, and those who right now, Lord, are tormented by the travails of this life. I give to you now everyone who's on hold, everyone united to me in prayer, everyone who has written. I bring them to the ocean of your mercy, Lord. I just ask you to hear our prayers as we pray. Eternal Father, We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments, we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
And Saint Maximilian Kolbe, patron of those addicted,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. All right. I'm going to take a short pause. I come back. I have a guest you're going to love. He's knowledgeable. He's eloquent. He's a lot of fun. And he's going to join me. I won't give you his name right now, but you'll recognize him the second you hear his voice. I don't know if you've heard about this revival that has taken place in Kentucky. It's called the Asbury Revival. And it has gone on day after day after day after day. As many as 25,000 people were beginning to start up with this. It seems like a spark that's now taking place all around the country. I'm going to fill you in on all the details of what many believe is a powerful movement of the Holy Spirit. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor could support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
Well, thanks so much for praying with me. Thank you for sending me your answered prayers. Continue to do that if you could. Just send them to Drew@relevantradio.com. I believe God's at work. I do. I feel the Holy Spirit so powerfully in the studio at times when we pray together. And you know, I really stand on the scripture, when two or more gathered, you know, Christ is truly present. I stand on the promises that our Lord gave to St. Faustina through the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and this beautiful devotion that is literally changing lives and in a very literal sense bringing about miracles. There's another movement of the Holy Spirit at work right now, and it's something I've been following, and I you probably have heard about it, but Senior James Shea, who was a guest a little bit earlier, referenced it. It's called the Asbury Revival. Are you aware of this? 56 years ago, this month, right? I just found this out. I didn't realize this. 56 years ago this month, a group of students were on a retreat in Duquesne University in Pittsburgh praying for a new Pentecost. They were asking for the Spirit to come, right? How often do you do that? Do you say, Holy Spirit, come, fill me, enlighten me? Do you pray for a new descent of the Holy Spirit, a new Pentecost on the church or on your family? I don't think I don't. I should probably do it a lot more, right? When I hear these stories, and the students basically made this prayer, and they began seeing happening in Protestant churches across the country a revival. Duquesne University was actually an appropriate place for that to happen because the full name of Duquesne University, it's Duquesne University of the Holy Spirit. It was founded by members of the Congregation of the Holy Spirit, and the first school opened as the Pittsburgh Catholic College of the Holy Ghost in 1878. So I guess when that church was consecrated, I guess God gave it a special anointing, right? When that college, I should say, was established. And who knew? God had a divine plan. He saw the 30,000-foot view. He saw the long picture, right? You get these students praying at the University of Pittsburgh for a new Pentecost, and boom. That new Pentecost happened. They experienced what was later termed the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Catholic charismatic renewal spread from there, and it became a major force of renewal for the entire church. And you might know somebody who's been involved in the charismatic renewal. You may know somebody who still is, who prays in tongues, who really calls upon those powerful gifts of the Holy Spirit, one that I think we've forgotten today. Well, down in Kentucky, at a place called Asbury University, different place, right, different location, there is a revival. That's what people are calling it. They're calling it an awakening among the students. A couple of weeks ago, they held this chapel service, which the preacher himself said, it's kind of lackluster. That's the preacher. He said, My wife, I'll come home after the show. How was the show? I'm like, it was okay. Or sometimes you hit a home run, right? Sometimes I say, it's a double, right? That's what this preacher said. He goes, well, what was this service like? He goes, it was lackluster. The students didn't go away, though. And what happened was curious. Something or someone kept them there. And they stayed. They stayed overnight. And all the next day. And all the next night. And they were praying. And they were worshiping. They were confessing their sins. And with electronic communications being what they are today, word very quickly spread across the country. And people started going there from all over to see what was going on. And they wanted to participate in this movement of the Holy Spirit. So last week, the school actually, because I was wondering how long is this going to go on. I was tracking day 10, day 11. The school actually had to close it off to outsiders. Why? A local fire marshal said, hey, you're well beyond capacity here. This is dangerous. So CBN was reporting that the revival has spread from Asbury. And it's now apparently happening in other Christian colleges as well. So the revival, the awakenings, whatever you want to call it, they are actually a major part when you think about the history of this country. You know, they're not going to teach you that in public schools, but these events can also have fallbacks like dependency on emotionalism and a whole bunch of other stuff. Joining me today is Father Richard Simons. I want to talk to him a little bit about this. He is that great voice I told you about. You know Father Simon says right here on Relevant Radio. He's the show right before mine. If you only tune in for the chapel or listen at this time of day, you might want to tune in maybe an hour or two earlier. Guarantee you, you'll be enlightened and informed. And Father, it's so good to have you with me today. Good afternoon.
Always good to be with you, Drew.
Well, this is an amazing story. You know, I was tracking this. I know you've been very active in the charismatic renewal for a while. Yeah. We saw the movement of that Holy Spirit when people called to ask for the Spirit to come down. And I was wondering, well, what are we seeing today? Is there another revival, if you will, another descent of the Holy Spirit? What do you make of what's happened in Asbury and what's now being reported in other colleges?
Well, it's hard to say. It really is hard to say. We had a caller on the show yesterday on the 1 o'clock show who went down. I think he was from Kentucky. He went to see what was happening. He said it's gotten to be about 25,000 people, and I guess they're looking for a place off campus. But it's really hard to say. But it sounds, from what I hear from people who are better informed about it than I, that it sounds like the real thing because it began with repentance. That these young people were weeping for their sins. And, You know, I think that that's, you know, what's revival? I mean, that's a kind of funny term. We don't talk about it in the Catholic Church. And I think a good term for it probably is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as you mentioned. And, you know, what's the Holy Spirit? Third person of the Blessed Trinity. But I think maybe a good practical definition, I don't know if it's a good theological one, for the Holy Spirit is the he is the voice of God. You know, that you speak, the word spirit means breath, and you speak with your breath, and you know, that sense of the presence of someone, you know, they're a living, breathing reality. And so it's an outpouring of God's breath, and it starts with repentance. I think a lot of times we want revival because we want to feel good about things, and it kind of starts the opposite way, feeling bad about things.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm just curious.
That's really true. Revivalism, right, in a Protestant understanding, I think, puts the focus on personal faith with public implications. Isn't that something that's part of our Catholic faith all along, though? I mean, our encounters with Christ, you know, he just can't just sit with us, but we got to put them into action in concrete ways.
Well, you know, St. Francis, when he started his movement, it was a revival. And I've heard descriptions of the building of the Cathedral of Chartres as a revival, that people would come from all over just to participate in this building. And at night they would spend the evenings in prayer and in worship. And, you know, that wherever you encounter the presence of God and people reacting to that presence, I suppose that's, you could call it revival, outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But it's the thing that intrigues me about this is it can't be planned. You can't plan a revival. Doesn't work that way. It just, God decides to pour out his Holy Spirit on people who have sincerely asked for the Holy Spirit. That's how it works.
Wow.
No amount of meetings, no amount of planning, you can end in a revival. But the confession, the sincere repentance, the sincere confession of sin, that has a lot to do with it, I think.
Yeah, you know, apparently they were confessing their sins. I don't know how that works in a public setting, you know, but they didn't say whom they were confessing them to. Maybe they were just saying it to God. But, yeah, again, I bring it back to the Catholic faith. What's the connection between, let's say, confession and the Eucharist and the reviving of our faith in the Eucharist? I mean, we Catholics have the source of revival himself, right? We have our Lord truly present in the Eucharist.
Yeah.
That feeds the body and the soul. But your thoughts?
Well, you know, that idea of the confession of sin. When we think of confession of sin, we think of the sacrament, which I think is very important to think of it that way. But the word confess just means to admit or to agree. That's what the word means. And just to fall before God and say, I failed, and you know, I'm in need. You know, I think a lot of people think of revival as a powerful emotional experience, and it can be. But it just starts with the admission that I've fallen short of the glory of God, or we've fallen short of the glory of God. And you can't have any, you know, this Eucharistic revival, it's not going to happen unless there's a revival of repentance, you know. But, I mean, I wonder how many people have ever really wept for their sins. I mean, when you really look at who you are, compare yourself to the beauty of Christ's cross and the glory of God, you weep.
Yeah,
I mean,
so true.
I mean, this is, you know, can you weep for your sins? Well, that's rather, well, it's appropriate because sin is such an offense against the glory of God and so poisonous to human beings. And we're not going to have any kind of revival of anything until, you know, I think we admit that we're desperately in need of God, you know. And
yeah, it's funny. And maybe I'm wrong in this perspective. I know some Catholics think, ah, the Catholics have all the answers, right? And we're the true faith, which I believe, too. I believe we're the true faith. This is the Church of Christ established. But I think there are some Catholics that question whether or not God can actually work through Protestant denominations. I would disagree with that. He clearly thinks he can. But do you see the Lord perhaps choosing, you know, particular Protestant denominations to really do something for them?
No. I don't think God chooses a denomination. You know, and you say Catholics have all the answers, we certainly do, but we Catholics aren't asking the right questions.
Right.
You know, we do have all the answers, it's just we're not asking the questions right now. We're not saying, Lord, what must I do to be saved?
Right.
We're not asking that question. You know, I really believe that, I mean, you know, I would even call the resurgence of Eucharistic devotion in all of these adoration chapels, I would call that revival. you know, that people are longing for Christ and they find him in the Eucharist. In a sense, that's revival. You know, and the idea that, well, these aren't Catholics, so this can't be real, that's just so arrogant, you know, you know, they're united to us by the gift of baptism. They're not separated from us the way that a pagan would be. And I think that if we're that arrogant, that we can, if it doesn't come from my tribe, well, it's not, you know. And I believe the Roman Catholic Church is the church established by Jesus Christ through the ministry of the apostles. I have no doubt about it. It's the only one that can historically make that claim. You look at the history of the church, and we are a revivalist church. It's just at this current moment, we are not. I think we're busy working on explaining to people how, oh, no, it's not a sin. You're not sinning. So many people in the church are calling sin grace. And, you know, it's not. So I think that what's going on at Asbury is all about the confession of sin and admitting how desperately they need God. That's my suspicion.
I always appreciate your perspective. Let me grab a quick call or two. If you want to get in, sure. I'm going to have to take a break. Should I take it after the break, Maggie? Let me take a quick pause. When we come back, Susan, we'll grab you in San Diego. We'll grab everyone else. I only have a few minutes with Father Simon. So if you want to get in, here it is. It's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I also want to share with you, if I can, some revelations that our Lord revealed both to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque and St. Faustina about the sins that were committed on Mardi Gras. So stay with me. Our conversation and that straight ahead.
Today's programming is brought to you by St. Gregory Recovery Center in Iowa. More information about their faith-centered addiction treatment is available at relevantradio.com/stgregory.
And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath, the planets form. And if the stars were made to worship so light, I can see your heart in everything you make. Every burning star, signal, fire, grace. And if creation sings your praises, so will I.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
So good to be with you today. Thank you for joining me. If you're just tuning in, trying to get a deeper understanding of, well, what they're calling a revival, the Asbury Revival that was drawing tens of thousands of people and apparently is spreading now across the country. And when I see a movement of the Holy Spirit, I always think it's good to explore what God is trying to communicate and how we should respond. And there's nobody better to help us navigate that question than Father Richard Simon, a wonderful colleague of mine here at Relevant Radio. You can check him out the hour right before my show kicks off, wherever you may be. And Father, let's jump right into the phones. We'll grab a quick call or two. Let's grab Susan, who's in San Diego first. Susan, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Father.
Hey.
When Hi. I first heard about this, hello, I started saying like metanoia in my head. So I just want to make, is it the same thing as metanoia or is there a difference and what would that difference be? And then
metanoia?
I can hang up.
Well, you know, you have a point. I think, you know, metanoia is a Greek word, of course, and it means have a new understanding. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, so often, I think one of the places in which the charismatic renewal really fell down and continues to fall down is that we think of it as an emotional experience. It may or may not be. You know, people say, oh, I really feel God. I don't care if you feel God. What I want to know is, have you heard God? You know, that mind in you, which was in Christ Jesus, have you heard God? And that's what revival really, I think, is about. Have you heard God? And if you think you've heard God, why do you think it's God that spoke? You know, that God creates all things out of nothing by his word. And if you hear God speak, and you're never going to hear him perfectly, but if you hear God speak, that's life-changing, and it's world-changing. And I think in the charismatic, you know, we thought, oh, I really felt something. Well, fine, you felt something. Did you hear something? So I think metanoia, repentance, I think that is part of repentance, is to hear God. So, yeah, metanoia.
Well
That's
said.
A good insight.
All right, we'll follow that up with Christina in Berlin, New Jersey. Hi, Christina. Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you? Hello, Father Simon. And
Hi.
I just wanted to first start off. I want to start off with thanking you so much. I love your program. I love to listen to you. You really make us think deeply, just like Drew said.
Well.
And Drew makes us think deeply, but I really appreciate it. My question is, because you mentioned about, you know, crying and weeping over your sins, and I've been there, done that, do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You know, the closer, I guess, we get to the Lord, we really feel that. And my question is, like, how do we do that? How do we get others, you know, maybe our pastor, you know, to, I'm going to go small, right? Maybe a pastor to like maybe go along that route to speak to the people or whatever, because I know, I mean, whatever, you know what I mean, the parish. But, you know, I've had excellent pastors and one in particular that really, really moved us. So I just wanted, I'm not with that pastor anymore. He was transferred. So,
Well, how do you share it? You know, I think the best way to share it, if someone comes up to you and asks, what have you got that I don't have? If a person says that, I want what you have, then you got them. And I think that, you know, the only way that you can really share, the best way to witness, I think, isn't by talking someone into a corner and getting them to agree with you theologically and intellectually. It's, you know, if you can pray with someone, it's just amazing. If you say, you want me to pray for you? Oh, all right. And just, well, close your eyes and just say, Lord, just touch them. I know you love them. And Lord, just bless them. And you'll take care of this issue that we've been talking about. You know, somebody talks to you about their problems. You say, can I pray with you? You would be amazed how people react to that. I've just had people who that simple act has changed their life. That's real evangelism, to bring them to Christ, not to bring them to an idea, not to bring them to an organization, but to bring them to Christ. Sometimes by inviting them to church, you do that, but more often than not, the best way, if we're bold enough to actually pray with someone, then that's a powerful, powerful hearing from God. So that's the way you do it. And you just have to be the, you know, when Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men, he didn't tell us we were going to be the bait. You got to be the tastiest little worm on the hook. If you're the best person the pastor knows, you're the best person your pastor knows. He's going to say, what has she got that I need?
That's so true. Well, Father, I want to thank you for your time. Always good to have you with us. And look forward to seeing you tomorrow. I know you'll be here saying Mass at the studio. So
I will be.
We'll catch up again, but appreciate all that you do. And if
I'm honored.
People want to get a hold of you, is there an email? Just is it...
I think it's R. Simon at Relevant Radio. That's the best one to get me. I think that's my email.
Well, I don't know. You don't want to give that one. Anyway, I got you. It's Simon at RelevantRadio.com.
Simon at RelevantRadio.com.
There you go.
Yes. I never email myself.
Neither do I. All right, Monsignor, I'm giving you a promotion.
No, I'm not a Monsignor. No, thanks.
I'm promoting you, Your Excellency.
No,
thank
I'm
you so much.
I'm at. Okay, come on.
See you, Father. That's Father Richard Simon. You check him out every afternoon. He is on 11 Pacific and, of course, 3 Eastern. That's when his show starts. No, that's not right. I should stay in the Central Time Zone. He's on at 1 Central Time and 2 Eastern, and be sure to check him out. He's always a lot of fun. Hey, I want to share with you a little bit. I don't know how much time I have left here right now for this, but I came across a really interesting story regarding Mardi Gras. And today, of course, is a day that I was going to talk a little bit about the Holy Face devotion. And it's a powerful devotion that has received all sorts of promises associated with several great saints have had their connection to it. But in the remaining minute or two, maybe I'll have to dive into this a little bit deeper. This is a day with a lot of sin, a lot of debauchery, right? And St. Faustina and St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, they both experienced visions of Christ on the cross and the sins that were committed on these days. And these two saints, St. Margaret Mary and St. Faustina, the parallel between their message of the Sacred Heart and the Divine Mercy and the promises associated with them and the images that were given to them. These are two parallel devotions. They always have been to me. St. Faustina recounts how three times in her diary, she had these encounters. I'll just share one or two of them if I can. It was February of 1933 where St. Faustina says, "My physical suffering's intensified, but I'm uniting myself more closely with the suffering of our Savior, asking for his mercy on the whole world, which is running riot into its wickedness. Throughout the day, I felt a pain of the crown of thorns, and when I lay down, I could not rest my head on a pillow. But at 10 o'clock, the pain ceased, and I fell asleep. But the next day, I felt exhausted." During the last days of Carnival, when she was making a holy hour, she saw how the Lord Jesus suffered, how he was scourged. And she wrote in her diary on how inconceivable the agony was, how terrible our Lord suffered during the scourging. And I've often talked about this. 38, a couple years later, 5 years later, she had another experience where she was overcome by the flood of chastisements and sins. And she said she would have fainted with fright. And she was just surprised how God allowed humanity to exist. But she, like Margaret Mary Alacoque, trusted in the mercy of God. They prayed, they offered penance. We should do the same. I'll fill you in on some more. Stay with me.